Good morning. Good to see each of you today. And here's how I would like to start off this morning. I want to start off by sharing a story with you about a 54-year-old lady who had a heart attack, a massive heart attack. And she went to the hospital, and while she was on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. And she, when she saw God, she said, this is what she asked Him. It was a question that really, if you were in her shoes and I were in her shoes or in that position, in those circumstances, you would probably ask this same question. She asked Him, is my time up? That's what she asked God when she saw Him. But according to her, here's what God said to her. No, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. So upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift, liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color, brighten her teeth. Because the way she looked at it was, she had so much more time to live, so why not make the most of it? After her last operation, she was released from the hospital, and while crossing the street on her way home, she was killed by an ambulance. And so when she arrived in front of God, she demanded, I thought you said I had another 43 years. Why didn't you pull me out of the path of the oncoming ambulance? To which God replied, oh my, I didn't even recognize you. Okay. If you're our guest this morning, if you were not here this past week, we started this new series entitled Identity Crisis. That's what we've been talking about. And what we've been talking about is an identity crisis that really we all see taking place around us, each and every one of us. We see this in our own homes, possibly in your own life when you look in the mirror. You see it in your neighbors, possibly. You see it in where you work, go to school, where you go to church. All around us, we see an identity crisis taking place. Now, an identity crisis is one where really you question, who am I? What am I all about? What defines me as a person? And a lot of people today are battling with that. To the point to where I even think, and I'm somewhat kidding, that if you sat down with God and you were going through an identity crisis, God would probably look at you and say, who are you? What's going on? But a lot of people are struggling with that today. But let me tell you the reason why. The reason why this is so prevalent today in our country and really across the globe is because every human being that is born on this planet, we are born with these needs. These needs are in the fabric of our soul. You could refer to these as soul needs. And the needs that we have within each and every one of us is, one, to be loved unconditionally. Every human being born on planet Earth has a need, has a desire to be loved unconditionally, to be loved for who you are. Every one of us has a need to find security in life, some sense of stability, some sense of, hey, the ground is not shifting all under my feet all the time, but I have a sense of security. All of us have a need inside of us for significance, for our life to count, for our life to matter, for our life to be with purpose, to where we're not living a meaningless life. And then all of us, I believe in some way or another, have a desire, a need to be unconditionally accepted, to just be able to be who you are and have people or someone around you accept you for who you are. And since we're all born in this world with these needs, these soul needs, what we begin doing at a very, very young age, even as children, is we start kind of looking at our options, looking at people groups and looking at individual people, looking at opportunities, looking at all these different things to ultimately try to anchor our identity in those. In essence, to be able to find love, in essence, to find security, to find significance, to find this acceptance and this unconditional love that we're really looking for. And we do this as young kids. Each of us as kids started looking possibly at sporting events. We started looking at academics. We started looking at arts. We started looking at trying to be known as a good kid or a bad kid. We started looking at all these things to anchor our identity in, or people to anchor our identity in, to ultimately fill these needs that we have. Now, as we age, we start looking at relationships and dating and marriage. We start looking at career. We start looking at money. We start looking at our physical appearance. We start looking at all these things. And none of these things in and of themselves are bad things. They all can be really good and to enjoy them. The problem comes in is when we've anchored our identity, who we see we are, who we're trying to define ourselves as, in these things or in these people, and then one of these things fails us. A relationship falls out of our life, and our identity goes with it, and we're crushed. Our career, maybe the company that we've poured everything into, and the business and the skill we poured ourselves into, lays us off, fires us, goes out of business, and our identity goes with it. The same can be said with our money. The same can be said with our physical appearance, our health, and so on. And when this happens, when what we have anchored our identity into fails us or leaves us, then we are in an identity crisis. That's where we have seen people in our lives. We have seen people up close and even afar, from far off, that when one of these areas they've anchored their identity in fails them, they start questioning who they are. They feel like they're an utter failure. They feel like they're worthless. They feel like their life doesn't matter. They feel unloved. And the reason why is because what they anchored their identity in left them or failed them. And it's always not a question about if these things will fail you. It's a matter of when. Isn't that true? Relationships are going to fail you. Your health is going to fail you. Your appearance is going to fail you. Your career, the money, all these things are going to fail you at some point. And our big idea last week that I really, really hope that all of you listened to or watched online, or those of you that were here this past Sunday are grappling with, is that God has created you with these needs inside of you. And these needs are only able to be satisfied and fulfilled in a relationship with Him through Jesus. You see, God did not create these needs inside of you, love, acceptance, and for your life to count, and all these things, for you to find them in anything or anyone else other than Himself. And so whenever we're trying to find these fulfillment and this satisfaction for these needs that never go away, and we anchor them in anything other than God, in essence, it's trying to push water uphill or trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. It will not work. But God said through Christ, He said, come to me and you will find all that you need. You see, it's in Jesus alone that you find unconditional love. Unconditional love. It's in Jesus alone that you find security in all areas of life. Because the unchanging God of heaven says to you, anchor your identity in me, anchor your relationship in me. In the midst of all your circumstances, you have that in Jesus. He's your rock. Jesus is the one who also gives you purpose in life. He's the one that gives you direction and meaning in life and the reason for living in this life. Jesus is also the one who unconditionally accepts you in a relationship with Himself right where you are with all your hurts, hang-ups, problems, and addictions. He says, come to me. Jesus alone is the one who can satisfy your deepest needs. So here's my hope for all of you. My hope is that every one of us would shift our thinking from I am, and I'll use myself as an example, Jonathan Dunn, married to one woman, thankfully, with five kids, Eston, Molly, Drew, Hudson, and Joseph. I have a Sienna Toyota van. I have an Isuzu Rodeo. I have a house, a little money in the bank. I preach somewhat okay. I lead somewhat okay in my performance, right? Shift from that to I am Jonathan Dunn, and I am a child of the living God. I am a son of God. You see, that's what God desires for all of you. And you can fill your own name in the blank. You can fill in all the details about you, relationships, achievements, successes, failures, strengths, weaknesses. But the shift has to take place, guys. It is of the most important thing I can share with you today, from I am this to I am a child of God. I am a son of God, or I'm a daughter of God. That is God's desire for you. Are you guys with me this morning? This is how you can prevent, if you will, an identity crisis in your life. Now, here's what I want to do today. Today, I want to take you to a letter that was written a little shy of 2,000 years ago by a guy named Paul. And this is a pretty incredible letter that he wrote, because Paul wrote letters to Christ followers all over the known world at that time, where he was starting churches and mentoring pastors and churches and all this. But he wrote a letter to a group of Christ followers in a city called Ephesus. The letter we have in our New Testament today, we call it Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Ephesians, and we're going to look at some very, very powerful words that Paul wrote to these people. You know, when we look back on it, we see it as this book that's ancient and old, and I don't know what to do with it. But really, what this book is composed of, especially in this New Testament primarily, are letters to people. And this is what Paul did. He was writing to people like us, and he was sharing some information with them that was of the utmost importance. Now, here's the really cool thing about what we're going to look at today. These words that Paul wrote share a lot of insights into this relationship you have with your Creator, your God in heaven, through Jesus. He tells you how this came about. He tells you what's at stake. He tells you how incredible, and I'm telling you, it is incredible how this relationship was formed and how it is even sustained and held together. And then also, what we're going to look at today, and this is pretty powerful, is there is this one question, this one challenge, this one issue that every one of you are facing, including myself, that Paul answers for you. I personally believe this is one of the greatest challenges, questions. I hear it a lot with people asking me this question. I hear a lot of people discussing this question that he answers in this passage. So if you have your Bible, or you can look with me on the screen, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, start verse 8. Watch this. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Now let me just pause there. Paul is saying this to these people as a reminder. Guys, listen. It is grace that has established this relationship with your Creator. Now, the word grace here really means this: unmerited, meaning unearned, or undeserved favor. Paul lays the foundation. He says, the way that you have this relationship with your Creator, the God who is holy, the God that has created everything and holds all things together, okay, that God, it is purely an act of grace through faith. Now, the order here is very, very important, because he says grace is what activates faith. Grace is what activates faith. Your faith is in response to the grace of God. Your faith of believing in God is in response to His act of grace, His act of unmerited, undeserved favor. And here's what he's saying in verse, as he finishes up, he adds a little detail. He says, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Paul wants for you to understand, and guys, this is so, so, so important for you when it comes to an identity in God, a relationship with God, and your security in God, all those things, is you have to understand, and I have to understand by the Spirit speaking to our hearts, is that God alone is responsible for initiating and loving you and drawing you into this relationship with Him. You didn't do anything for it good enough, and you can't do anything bad enough to not have it. It is a relationship that God starts and God gives to you as a gift. You see, this is so foundational and so important, because a lot of people today really are concerned about trying to do enough good stuff versus bad stuff to get God to find enough favor in them or like them enough or be presentable enough for Him to actually show grace to them. But that's not how it works. The way it works is that we're sinners and we're in desperate need of a Savior. And God says, I'm going to show you favor that you don't deserve, you can never earn, you can never work for, just out of my love and my mercy for you, and it's a gift. Receive it. Our faith is in response to that. Now look with me at verse 9. He says, it's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's not a result of anything you have done, you can do, you will do, or you won't do. And the reason why that God did it this way was that so no one could ever say, I achieved God's favor. There is not a single person on planet Earth outside of Jesus who walked a while back that has ever earned, if you will, the favor of God. No one. No one. And this is why when Christians walk around, or people who say they follow Jesus, and they kind of stick their chest out a little bit, and they think that God is lucky to have them on His team, that's when Christians don't really get it. And I've been in that position before, sadly, and possibly some of you have. It's where you start thinking, because of how things you have done certain things, haven't done certain things, that this is why you are in this relationship with your Heavenly Father. The truth of the matter is what Paul says is, no, guys, it's undeserved, unmerited favor that your God uses to activate your faith. It is a gift that you respond to in faith. Now, I have a video clip this morning that I want to show you. And I want to set it up by telling you this. And we'll talk about it in just a second. What you're about to witness is a video clip that this video was probably recorded maybe a few months ago. And when I saw it, I thought, this is unbelievable. It records a child, a 3-year-old little boy who was born deaf. He never heard his mother sing a lullaby to him as a baby. He never heard the birds chirping. He never heard music. He never heard anyone say anything. But thankfully, given the age that we live in with technology and the advancements we've made, some company created this device that was planted at the stem of his brain, that's on his head, that allowed him to hear for the very first time. Now watch this 33-second clip, and then I'll get up here and share more with you.
We've got an update this morning on a touching story we brought you on Thursday. The remarkable moment captured on camera when a child who was born deaf hears for the first time. Here's NBC's Kate Snow.
A child's look of wonder as he hears his father's words for the first time in his young life.
Talk to him, Daddy.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Daddy.
Yes, here.
Can you hear Daddy?
Get in his face.
Daddy loves you.
All right, if you have children or grandbabies, and even if you don't have kids, that's awesome, isn't it? That's incredible. You see, when I saw that video clip, I saw me 17 years ago, at the age of 20, when my soul was awakened by God. I had never heard God like I heard Him that day. And what God said to my soul, out of His grace, was the message that this father said to this boy, "Daddy loves you." You know, guys, this is really the picture of what Paul is speaking to. This is what Paul is writing about, is that our Heavenly Father comes to us with a message of "Daddy loves you." And a number of you possibly in the room, you can remember a time, a moment, and a place where for the first time it was as if your soul heard that. Like it was shouting out at you. And like this little boy, the awe, the wonder of like, whoa, you were blown away. And that's the faith, the response toward this message of grace, this message of love that your Father states to you. And this is the picture of this relationship that God has given us through His Son. It is stirred and motivated by a heart of grace by our Heavenly Father. To people whose hearts are sinful, that can't hear. And then God, out of His grace, reaches out to us and says, "Daddy loves you." To which the response of faith is one where the kid, where your eyes are opened and you finally see and you finally hear your Father's voice, your Heavenly Father's voice for the first time. And the only thing you know to do is to turn to Him and to wrap your arms around His neck. You see, some of you here this morning, if you've never had that experience, I want to tell you that all throughout eternity, the message of God to the entire world, and that Jesus actually came to this earth and confirmed through His own words, speaking to His Father, as well as showing through His death and His resurrection, is "Daddy loves you." And today, you need to know that. You need to have that concrete in your heart and your mind that your Heavenly Father is saying to you, no matter what you have done or haven't done, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're struggling with, "Daddy loves you." That's awesome, isn't it? Now catch this. In verse 10, Paul continues. Here's what he says. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the American dream." Is that what he says? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the American dream." Now, if you don't know what this verse says, I can tell you Paul did not prophetically state about 2,000 years ago anything about the American dream. Okay, he didn't care anything about that. But let me tell you something, sadly today, a lot of you believe that. A lot of us believe that. A lot of us believe that this relationship we have with our Heavenly Father that is sound and founded upon and grounded in the grace of God, the love of God, that once we enter in this relationship with Him, that ultimately He is working, He is doing things ultimately to help us fulfill the American dream. Now, some of you here, you heard that from your mama and your daddy. We all here have heard it from culture. Some of you have heard this from preachers, sadly. That God, ultimately, His greatest desire for you is for you to experience and fulfill the American dream. And He's kind of your genie in the bottle and the Santa Claus to help you in your quest. But you see, unfortunately today, and unfortunately biblically, that is not what God created you for. That is not what God is doing. You know, it's interesting, the Gallup organization went out and they went out and surveyed all these American workers, and I can't remember the sample set of data that they collected, but the amount of data they collected was thousands and thousands of data points. And they asked them this question. They said, "How many of you are fulfilled and excited and just pumped about what you're doing in your life and what you're doing in your career?" 30% said, "I am." 70% of Americans today say that they have checked out in their careers. 70%. So for all of you bosses and employers here, 7 out of 10 employees say they do not care at all about their jobs. They feel like something's missing. They feel like something's missing. You know, the American dream can be defined in multiple ways, but in essence, the American dream is this. It's all about influence and affluence. It's all about titles and positions and power, gaining and going up the ladder, right? And it's all about how much you have, how much money, how much stuff that you can get your hands around, your arms around. This is the measurement, if you will, of success for the American dream. This is why many of us chose the careers we chose, went to the schools we went to, have worked at certain companies, worked for certain jobs, because it really gets down to, at the end of the day, is can I get the influence and can I get the affluence that I want that ultimately helps me in my quest to fulfilling and experiencing the American dream? And along the way, we say, "God, Help me get there. You know, here's the sad thing is that a lot of you today possibly are disappointed with God. You're upset with him. And the reason why you're upset with him is because your quest for the American dream and however you look at that, and that's always completely subjective and relative to every person, is that as you start pursuing that and you're not getting there, going as fast as you want and getting those things, you start blaming God for it. As if this is what he wants for your life. But that's not what God says. You know, it's also interesting that even people, stars, that now have more opportunities, more money, more success, more fans than any of us will ever have, likely in a lifetime, as they get to the pinnacle, they have exceeded the American dream. They're talking about this, and they're not speaking to it the way we would think. One guy, you may have heard of him, his name's Jim Carrey. I'll show a quote to you about him. He said this. He said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Jim Carrey said that. Now, I don't know if you like Jim Carrey or not. He's a pretty funny guy. He's somewhat annoying as well. But Jim Carrey, okay, this guy is saying, look, I just wish everyone on planet Earth would just become wealthy overnight, so that you will finally figure out and quit whining and quit complaining and quit being disappointed and all this stuff to figure out this is not the answer. The American dream, whatever dream, is not the answer. People today are experiencing the American dream, climbing the American dream ladder, if you will, and are still saying something's missing. Why? Because your Heavenly Father did not create you for the American dream. If I can settle that with for all of you this morning, I can tell you this without hesitation. Your God did not create you and is not working in your life for you to experience the American dream. That's not his goal. That is not his end for you. Now, along the way, does he want you to enjoy certain things and certain blessings that we have? Absolutely. But that's not his goal for your life. But check out what Paul really said. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for, say the phrase with me, good works. Now watch this, very important. Which God prepared when? Beforehand, that we should walk in them. Here's what Paul says. Get this. Your God is working in your life. You're his workmanship. This word here is a little Greek word that we take our word poem from. This means masterpiece, art, poem, this creative work. God is doing something unique and awesome in every one of your lives and in my life as well. He is working in you and creating you in Christ Jesus for good works. And here's specifically the good works that he created beforehand that you would walk in them. You see what the problem is? The reason why you're not fulfilled, the reason why you're not satisfied when you're trying to climb the ladder of the American dream? It's because your God has created you for something far bigger, far more unique, far more incredible than the American dream. When you are trying to pursue and live for the American dream, you're ultimately settling. You're settling. Because what Paul says is, God has a unique path, a unique plan, and a unique purpose for you. Your life is significant. Your life does matter. Your life does count. Your life does have a purpose. And it's not the American dream. God has good works that he prepared beforehand for you. Isn't that incredible? Your God has relationships that he has written out that he wants you to invest in. Your God has certain things he wants for you to accomplish and to experience that he has written beforehand. And what he's saying is that you have a choice. You can walk in those, or you can walk in and try to fulfill the American dream. That is the choice for us. The reason why many of us today are unsettled, 70% of us don't enjoy our jobs, 70% of us feel like, or maybe more, that something's missing in life. The reason why that's happening is because you're missing the purpose, the plan, the path that your Heavenly Father is calling you to walk in. So let me ask you the question. Which makes more sense? For you to live your life striving, praying, begging God to help you accomplish and fulfill the American dream and then enter into eternity with him? Or for you to live your life surrendering your life to your Heavenly Father, walking in the path that he is uniquely calling you to live by, doing the good works, doing the things that he has for you in your life, and then seeing him in eternity? Which one makes the most sense? Which one would be the most satisfying? Which one would be the most fulfilling? I can tell you, and you all know this, it's not the American dream. It's the unique path and plan and purpose that God has created you for. So here's some thoughts that I just want to bounce off of you this morning. If God, and I believe He has created you, and He takes your mess ups, your hurts, He takes it all, and He says, I have a path for you to walk down. I have a way for you to live. If this is all true, which I believe it's true, then this is the implication of that. This is what it means. It means every dollar that God gives you, because it's all His anyway, right? It's on loan. That He gives you in this life, He has a purpose and a plan for you on how to use it. Every talent you have in your life, and you guys are some very, very smart, talented folks, far more than me. But those talents that your Heavenly Father has given you, the skill He has given you, He has a specific purpose and plan He wants you to use them for and invest them in. Your time that God has given you, and it's very short for all of us, right? But that time, He has given that to you. He has given it to you to invest it in the path and the plan and the purpose and the will that He has for you. And here's the thing. It's not for you to use your money, your time, and your talent, and all those other things that are bound up in that for your own kingdom building of the American dream. That's not His design for you. That's not His calling on your life. It is for you to use all those things in fulfilling the good works that He has called you to live and do. You see, God has called you and created you for something far bigger than the American dream. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for that. Instead, in response to this grace, in response to His love, in response to the gift of what He's given us, this relationship with Him, go to Him with your hands open and say to Him, God, here's my time, here's my talent, here's my resources, here's my life, God. I want to follow You. I want to live for You. I want to live a life that is fulfilling so that when I step out of this life into eternity, that I know that I'm walking into Your presence and I walked the path, I walked the life, I lived the life as You led me. You know, some of you, you struggle with this because what we do, and I've done this so many times, is as you're pursuing the American dream, something inside of you is saying, this isn't it, this isn't it, this isn't it. And so what we automatically assume is, well, then I need more, right? Well, Jim Carrey squashes that deal, right? I mean, you can get all you want, it still isn't going to do it. But I want to tell you what I think it is. I think this isn't it, this isn't it, this isn't it message, something's missing, something's missing, something's missing, is for the Christ followers in the crowd. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, this isn't it. This isn't it, this isn't it. This isn't it. Your Father has something very, very important and significant for you. Don't settle for the American dream. My hope, my heart for all of you today as you leave is this. Is you'll take everything to God and go. Because of Your grace, because of letting me call You daddy, You call me son or daughter. Because of You loving me when I am very unlovable, because of my relationship being anchored in an identity, in a relationship with You that is unshakable, here's everything. And God, however many breaths that You give me left, or how many heartbeats I have within my chest, God, I want to give it all to You. Don't let me settle, God. Spirit, don't let me miss what You want me to do. And here's what you'll find. Some of you, it may be a career change. For all of us, there's going to be changes. Time, our talent, and our money. For some of you, it's going to be a shift in the way you think about when you go to work. Instead of trying to, you know, work and do things and succeed and climb and all this stuff to ultimately get more money and more of this and more of that. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's what you're living for, you're missing it. But it will be a shift. It'll be where God has said, no. Your purpose here in this place of employment is ultimately for you to care for these people, work hard, help others, and ultimately, possibly, share God's love through your work as well as through your words with other people. All throughout our lives, in every category, in every area, God has a purpose. He has a plan for you. Don't settle for anything less.